And here's the record of, I think it's Cornelius, one of the first family of Gentiles. Yeah, Cornelius, the centurion of the Italian band. And verse 33, "And immediately therefore I sent thee," and so on, so on. And we are all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. You know, we're all present. We're here. That's basically the present truth is the truth that's here. He wasn't talking about the book of Revelation, truth that's to come. He wasn't talking about the Old Testament, the truth of the Old Testament law. He was talking about the New Testament grace administration, the present truth. So let's get back to Romans 13. What is this verse in Romans 13:8 talking about then, if it's not talking about that we, you know, cannot borrow anything? "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." But right there, "hath fulfilled the law," that should have raised a red flag in my mind a long time ago when people started trying to use this to put a law on me. Because remember, you have to take what's written right in the verse. And then you have to look at the context. Well, what's the context of Romans 13? Well, let's go back to Romans 13:1. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And a lot of Christian groups will teach that this is talking about secular governments. That's ludicrous, because if talking about secular, that means that God ordained Hitler and Stalin. And what was that guy, Pol Pot, or whatever the guy's name is? It was in Cambodia that killed 20% of his population. They even got a movie about it, The Killing Fields. I mean, the guy was a total despot. I mean, a vicious murderer. God doesn't ordain men like that to serve and be over people. God doesn't work that way. But who does have that kind of power? In Luke chapter 4, the devil took Jesus Christ up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world at a time, and he said, "All this power I'll give you if you but worship me." So who has the power of the king? Who puts Hitler and Stalin into place? Yeah, the adversary. Could it be Satan? Hey, got to use that twice. That's pretty good. Even in the United States, where we have a more humane and a more, hopefully, better system of government than some of those other people I mentioned, you know, we still get some fairly corrupt individuals at Washington doing, you know, you just watch the news, you know, it's the guy we got in there now is investigated every week for doing something else. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, if I'd done half of those things, I'd just be embarrassed and I'd just close shop and go home and change my name and, you know, go into the witness protection plan or something. Man, I wouldn't show my face in public. But some people have no shame, I guess. Okay, another key to that verse is it says they were ordained of God. There's no power. The powers that be, 13:1 in Romans, are ordained of God. In Acts 13, you see where the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, and Saul, in 13, verse 2, "And as we ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them forth." In other words, they ordained them. They ordained these two men to the Christian ministry. They ordained Barnabas and Saul as men having gift ministries. And Paul, obviously, is a man that went forth and made very obvious that he had a gift ministry. He went forth and manifested that very boldly and very efficaciously. And see, that's what it's talking about. Ordained of God is men of God that are ordained. That's what Romans 13:1 is talking about. And Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, or the stature of the fullness of Christ. Read what's written here. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. See, that's what Romans 13:1 is talking about, men of God that do this for the body of Christ, that keep us from being tossed about is with every wind of doctrine. That's what true men of God do. They don't just, it's not government leaders. It's not Clinton. It's not Hitler. It's not Teddy Roosevelt. It's not Ronald Reagan. You know, those aren't the higher powers of Romans 13. True ordained leaders in the body of Christ are servants to their fellow believers. They are not political dictators. They should not be a terror to the believers. They are not there to be served and worshipped. That is reserved for God only. They will help us from following false doctrines that come along. They will bring us back to the Word. They will also build up the body of believers by speaking the truth of love, not by tearing down people and fear motivating them, and not by loading them down with legalism. So let's go back to Romans 13 in verse 7. And this verse is again talking about, starts out with the word render. And the word render is also translated pay. So render or pay, therefore, to all. What is the all? Higher powers in the church. Their dues. And what I looked up the word dues, and what that is it's saying pay what you owe. And so what it's saying here is pay, therefore, to the higher powers what you owe. Well, what do we owe to higher powers? First word here is tribute. And tribute is tithes or first fruits. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom. And the word custom there is the word telos, the end. I'm thinking, well, first it's talking about tithes, and then it's the end. Well, what's it mean, the end? Well, that, what that means is that peel off a tithe, send that to whoever you've blessed, you know, whether it's Jimmy Swaggart or whatever, you know, send it to somebody doing the Word, you know. You probably figure out where I send mine. Give God his portion, then you pay your grocery bill, you pay your gas bill, you pay buy new clothes, maybe buy toys for your kids, you know, set a little money aside in your savings account, put some money aside in your retirement account, you know, do some of this, do some of that. Then after it's all over, if you still got money that's left over that you don't know what to do with, then, well, maybe you give some of that to the ministry too. But you make sure you meet your needs. You don't give till it hurts. But that's what it's talking about, telos. And then custom, that's the custom. And fear is just respect. You know, we respect people that are ministers that are doing the Word. We respect them. And honor in the Greek is just honor. But in the Aramaic, it's honorarium. So it's like sometimes when like Reverend Schroyer does these special things and people buy him a little special gift for him and Mary Lou, and it's, you know, an honorarium. And that's very godly. And so what if you take that in context, that verse, what I just showed you here in verse 7, you take verse 8 in context, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So what's that saying? Owe no man anything, higher powers or fellow believers. That's what man is there. So we don't owe, what we owe to the higher powers or fellow believers, we pay. Tithes, offerings, respect, gifts, but for to love one another. And you can never fully pay your love debt. You can love somebody and give them everything you got, and yet they still, you can never overdo love. That's why it says, but to love one another, because you can never, that's a debt we can never fully pay off. So it's like every day you wake up, you love the fellow believers, you love your spiritual leaders. That's a responsibility that we can never completely fulfill. Here's a quote from Order My Steps in Thy Word by Victor Paul Wirwell. Is God talking about a secular government? No, he is talking about the higher powers in the body of Christ, the church. Give to God's ministers whatever is due them, whether it be tribute, custom, reverence, or honor. Be sure that you are giving to the higher powers in the body all that is due them. It is terrible to think that people reverence the national, state, and local governments more than they do God Almighty and his ministers. Let us see to it that we believers who hold God's word in reverence have no debts to our leaders in the body of Christ, for the higher powers ordained of God to keep the order in the church for the benefit of the entire body. So what does God's word say about debt? You know, well, if there's no law that says we can't borrow, does that mean, well, I'm going to go out, you know, I get in the mail about 4 or 5 credit card applications every week, you know, $5,000 each. End of the week, I could be, you know, $30,000, $40,000 in debt. Well, is that the godly thing to do? It says in Proverbs, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is the servant to the lender. Like when I went and bought my house, I sat down, and it's also, there's a verse in Luke that says we should count the cost. Luke 14:27, they're talking about a man building a tower. Before you build it, you count to make your money, make sure you have enough money to finish it. When you guys build your building, you made sure you could afford to finish it and didn't leave it a hole in the ground, right? I figured out, well, if I pay rent so many dollars a month for 30 years, and I figure rent will go up maybe $50 a year, you know, over that 30 years, how much would I be paying in rent in 30 years? Then I figured out, well, if I mortgage, buy this house at such and such an amount, and I mortgage it, how much money am I paying in principal and interest? And what we do is we bought a house that was less than we qualified for. We qualified for this much. We only bought this much so that we can make extra payments on the principal, and we could pay it off in less than 30 years. We can pay it off in 20 years. So I figured, well, if I pay it off in 20 years or 15 years, then how much have I paid, you know, here and here? And I figured out, I added up the cost, and I was paying a whole lot more in rent than I was paying to buy this. And at the end of the 30 years, I owned the house, and I didn't own the apartment, and I was still renting, and I still owed rent. And see, a lease, when you sign a lease, you're in debt for 12 months. We have a believer up in Michigan that her and her husband are leasing a property, trying to get out of that because they ran a business and they no longer running that business, and they're into a lease that's more expensive than they want to be in. And now if they own the place, they could just put it up for sale and move out. But getting out of the lease is actually harder than selling it if they own the property. So sometimes renting is a better deal. Sometimes buying is a better deal. There's no one situation that covers all situations. And what you have to do is you have to honestly look at it, and you have to honestly say, well, which way can I transfer the least amount of my money to some rich unbeliever? Because we don't want to make them rich. That's not God's will. And so the best, in Proverbs 11:1, it says, a false balance is an abomination unto the Lord. You know, we want a just balance. So God expects you to steward your money well. Sometimes you do have to borrow a little money to get something nice. Say, for instance, my car breaks down, and it costs $1,000 to fix the car, and I don't have $1,000, and I have to borrow some money. Now, which is more bondage? The bondage of having to pay some interest on a credit card to fix the car, or going without a car? Well, if you can walk to work, maybe you can go without the car. But, you know, if you have to drive to work, maybe you better fix that car and borrow a little money. You know, the best thing to do, actually, is to put some money in a savings account. This is what I like to do. I put some money in a savings account, and then when I need to borrow, I borrow from that savings account instead of borrow from the guy down at the bank and pay him 18% interest. I just pay myself back. That's a little better system. That's what I wanted to share about Oh No Man Anything.